بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين ما بعد. Continue our readings and the treatise by Abdullah by Abdullah al-Wadi'iyyah حفظها الله تعالى نصيحتي للنساء, my advice to the women. Continue our readings in the chapter she mentioned من آفات اللسان, from the calamities and the diseases of the tongue. She has mentioned several different آفات and diseases, from the diseases and the calamities of the tongue. We have been reading from what she had mentioned, حفظها الله تعالى, with regards to الغيبة, backbiting. الغيبة, الغيبة. The ulama, they mentioned الغيبة, ذكر العيب في ظهر الغيب. To mention someone's fault in their absence. To mention someone's fault in their absence. We have seen some of the narrations the author, she has mentioned, and we continue reading from the last narration. We read it again for reminder. She says, وفي سنن الترمذي, وفي سنن الترمذي, عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال صعد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المنبر فنادى بصوت رفيع. She says here in Sunan at-Tirmidhi, from the narration of Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhuma, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he ascended the minbar and then he called out with a high voice. In this wording here, Sunan at-Tirmidhi, we have books of hadith, as-Sahihain, Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. And then after that, there are as-sunan al-arba', as-sunan al-arba', the four books of the sunnah. And that is Abu Dawud wa Tirmidhi wa Nisa'i wa Ibn Majah. But the scholars, they make a difference between a book that is considered as-sunan, a book is called as-sunan, or the book that is called al-jami', a book from the books of the Sunnah that's considered Sunan, like Sunan. You say Sunan Abi Dawud, was Sunan al-Nasa'i, was Sunan Ibn Majah. But Bukhari and Muslim, their book is not called Sunan, it's called Jami', al-Jami', al-Musnad al-Sahih, Jami' lil-Imam Bukhari, al-Jami' al-Sahih. Al-Jami' is different from a book that is called as-Sunan. The book that is called as-Sunan, with regards to the affairs of worship and actions of worship, and likewise the sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his manners and his conduct, beginning with worship, or before that, beginning with tahara and cleanliness, and then with acts of worship, with salat and how to perform them and the manners, and then zakat and so on and so forth. After that, with marriage and with transactions, and also with legal punishment, so on and so forth. You will find these affairs with regards to the Islamic rulings that have been clarified in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You will find these in a book called As-Sunan, like Sunan Abi Dawud and Sunan al-Nasa'i was Sunan Ibn Majah. As for a book that is called Al-Jami', like Al-Jami' al-Sahih lil Imam al-Bukhari, also Muslim, his book is also called Al-Jami', is a type of book called Al-Jami', which the plural is Al-Jawami'. These are books that contain much more than just these affairs of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his actions and his deeds. Rather, they also contain creed and belief. So you will find, for example, in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, the chapter of Iman. You won't find that in Sunan Abi Dawud. You will not find that in Nisa'i and the likes like this. The chapter of Iman, the chapter of Tafsir of the Quran, the chapter of manners and etiquettes. Some manners and etiquettes may be in the Sunan. But a book that is called Jami', this is a concise collection or all-inclusive collection of narrations that include everything that a Muslim needs in his life, from creed and from belief and from manners and from conduct and from worship and from rulings. It has more inclusive, encompassing a book containing more aspects of the religion. As for a book that is considered Sunan, then this is with regards to a book that collects the sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The plural of sunnah is sunan, sunnatun wa sunanun. So as sunan are the sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the plural, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his acts of worship and his manners and his conducts and his transactions and his dealings and his contracts, so on and so forth, and legal punishments that are prescribed. All of this will be found in the book of Sunan. In the book that's called Jami', you will find that and more. You will find that and more, like tafsir of Quran, like aqidah and iman, and the chapters of ilm and knowledge, and other than that, from the different chapters that are also that are extra and not found in the book's considered Sunan, or given the title of as Sunan. The point of mentioning that is, barakallahu fikunna jami'a, is that here she mentioned Sunan at Tirmidhi. The ulama, they mentioned that what's correct with it, Tirmidhi is not called Sunnah, or it's not from the books of the Sunan. Rather, what is more correct is that you should say Jami' Tirmidhi, because at Tirmidhi, they mentioned that it's along with the Sunan of the four Sunan, the books and a Sunan Arba, included in this, Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah. But they said really, they just mentioned this one, Tirmidhi, along with them, because it's of its authenticity and the likes like this, and they just made it along with those four books. But in reality, it's closer to being like the books of Bukhari and Muslim, because it is a jami' and it has more chapters and more affairs in it, and the likes like this. Although he did not only narrate narrations that are authentic, rather he narrated some narrations that are lesser than that and some that are weak. So a better way, and the ulama, they mentioned this, the ulama of hadith, the preferred way to describe it, Tirmidhi, is to say jami' Tirmidhi. Jami' Tirmidhi. Naam. And Allah knows best. So here in the Jami' of Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, the narration from Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he ascended the minbar and he called out with a high voice, Ya ma'shara man amana bilisanihi wa lam yufdi. Al-imanu ila qalbihi la tu'udhu al-muslimin. O group of those who have believed with their tongue, but iman has not entered their heart, faith did not enter their heart yet, do not harm the Muslims. وَلَا تُعَيِّرُوهُمْ. Do not pick out their faults and blame them for past mistakes. التعيير is to find faults and to pick out errors, particularly ones that have already preceded and that one has repented from. To find fault with somebody for a deed that they had committed, an error that they made, a sin that they fell into, and then they left that sin. This is wicked and evil. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, don't do that. If Allah azza wa jalla pardon a person for his sin, then his sins are covered and he has no sin. So for a person to remind them of their sins that they repented from, and to find fault with them for sins that have been repented from, this is very foul conduct and manners, and not befitting for a believer. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicates here, that's not the trait of a believer. O you who have believed with your tongue only, meaning that you have your Islam is weak, your deen is weak, you're not a complete believer, but iman did not enter your heart yet. Do not harm the Muslims by doing this. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا أَوْرَاتِهِمْ. Do not make tajassus. التَّتَّبُع here or it means tajassus, which is spying and trying to uncover the faults. Do not spy and try to uncover the faults of the Muslims, because verily, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ تَتَبَّعَ عَوْرَةَ أَخِيهِ الْمُسْلِمِ تَتَبَّعَ اللَّهُ عَوْرَةَهُ. And whoever follows up and seeks to find and uncover the faults of his brother Muslim, then Allah will uncover his faults. وَمَنْ تَتَبَّعَ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَهُ يَفْضَحُ وَلَوْ فِي جَوْفِ رَحْلِهِ. And whoever Allah uncovers his faults, then he will expose him, even if it's in the middle of his own family or in the middle of his own home. And one narration here, it says, this narration she mentioned, لَا تُؤْذُوا الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Do not harm the Muslims. Another wording that has come in Sunan Abi Dawood, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا تَغْتَابُوا الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Do not backbite the Muslims. Do not backbite the Muslims. لا تغتابوا المسلمين. It came like this in Sunan Abi Dawood from the Haditha Abi Barzah al-Aslami radiallahu anhu. Similar narration, almost exact wording, except instead of saying do not harm the Muslims, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not backbite the Muslims. Definitely backbiting them is harming them. And definitely blaming them for faults that they have left off and repented from, this is definitely harming them. And to uncover their faults, this is definitely harming them. And the point here is to remind myself and the noble sisters that this is from the traits of the hypocrites. That this is from the traits of the hypocrites, those who have made Islam, the statement of Islam with their tongue, but Iman has not sunk into their heart or has not taken root in their heart yet. But the one who the Iman has taken root in his heart, they would prohibit him from doing these actions. Likewise, she mentions, she says, what hadithu fi sahih al-musnad. And this hadith is in Sahih al-Musnad, yani one of the collections of her father, rahimahullah ta'ala. She says here, wa fi sunan Abi Dawood an Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. Also, there is another narration she mentions in Sunan Abi Dawood. In Sunan Abi Dawood, that Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, he mentioned, قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, that the Prophet Muhammad, or that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, لما عرج بي مررت بقوم لهم أظفار لهم أظفار من نحاس. This is a narration that we must pay attention to clarify the danger of backbiting. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, whenever I made the night journey and was lifted to the heavens, لما عرج بي, and whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the night journey and then he went up to the heavens, he said that he passed by some people. مَرَرْتُ أُرِجَبِي مَرَرْتُ بِقَوْمٍ لَهُمْ أَظْفَارٌ مِّن نُحَاسِ, that I passed by some people and they had nails, fingernails that are made from brass. Their fingernails are made from brass. يَخْمُشُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ وَصُدُورَهُمْ, and they're scraping and scratching their faces and their chests. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on this night journey, whenever he made the ascension to the heavens, he saw some people. And these people, they had fingernails made from brass. And what are they doing with their hands? They're scratching their faces and their chest with their own hands. And their fingernails are made from brass. فَقُلْتُ, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I said, مَنْ هَؤُلَاءِ يَا جِبْرِيلِ, who are those people, O Jibreel alayhi salam? قَالَ Jibreel, he mentioned, هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ لُحُمَ النَّاسِ وَيَقَعُونَ فِي أَعْرَاضِهِمْ. Jibreel, he told them that those are the people that backbite the people, that eat the flesh of the people, meaning يَغْتَابُونَهُمْ يَأْكُلُونَ لُحُمَهُمْ لُحُمَهُمْ أَيْ يَغْتَابُونَهُمْ, meaning they're backbiting them. These are the people that eat the flesh of the people. وَيَقَعُونَ فِي أَرَاضِهِمْ, and they find fault and speak ill of their reputation and their honor. So this is a severe punishment. And the ulama have mentioned that whenever there is a threat in the text, or if there is a severe punishment mentioned in the text, or if there is the mention of a curse for a particular action in a text, these are all indications. With other there are other also indications, but these are from the things that indicate that this action is a major sin, that they are threatened with this punishment, that these people have a particular punishment. That means it's a major sin, that these people, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw them with their fingernails from brass scratching their own faces and their chest, and these are the ones who used to speak ill about the people behind their back, and they would backbite them. And they would speak about their reputation and their honor behind their back. So we see that whenever they did this to the others behind their back, their punishment is that they did they scratched and tore the flesh of their own bodies from the front, and their faces, and on their chests. She says, "He would hadithu sahihun," and this narration, it is authentic. قال الحافظ ابن كثير في تفسيره والغيبة محرمة بالإجماع. She says, Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir, he mentioned in his tafsir that backbiting is impermissible. It is prohibited with a consensus, with the consensus of the ulama. She says, وَلَا يُسْتَثْنَى مِنْ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا مَا رَجَحَتْ مَصْلَحَتُهُ وَلَا يُسْتَثْنَى مِنْ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا مَا رَجُحَتْ مَصْلَحَتُهُ. And nothing is exempted from this prohibition except for in cases where the best good will require, or the best interest, or the maslaha, is the benefit requires that one mention somebody behind their back in a manner that he didn't like. So here we see the origin is that it's not permissible. But she's alluding here now, and the topic will turn to some affairs to clarify that there are exceptions to this impermissibility, and they are only in certain instances and not in every case. But rather the origin is that it is not permissible, it's haram, rather it's from the major sins, as she will mention. But there are cases whenever it will be permissible, rather there are cases when it may be obligatory to mention somebody in this manner behind their back, whenever in a manner they do not like. So Ibn Kathir, he's mentioning that none, that this is the origin. It's haram by consensus. And it's not, there's no exception for that except in instances where the best interest or the greater benefit will come from mentioning this foul thing behind their back. And now he makes examples. كَمَا فِي الْجَرْحُ وَالْتَعْدِيلِ. Like in الْجَرْحُ وَالْتَعْدِيلِ. In censoring and criticizing and also praising. Meaning with regards to الْجَرْحُ وَالْتَعْدِيلِ is the science of criticizing narrators of hadith, and those who also teach, and those who spread knowledge and the likes like this, and those who are in opposition to the sunnah, then to speak ill of them is permissible, rather it will be obligatory for those who have the right to do that, and who have the ability to do that, and have the qualification to do that. But jarh wa ta'dil is not for everybody. Rather, there are conditions for the one to be considered a jarih or a mu'addil. And from the greatest conditions of a scholar to be described as having this quality that he could speak ill of the narrators or of the callers to Islam is that he has taqwa and piety, and he's known for righteousness that will prohibit him from following his desires. Also, he has knowledge and awareness, and he's very alert, so he will not be able to be misled by certain individuals and the likes like this. The ulama of hadith, they mentioned all these things. The point that I make here is that this is not for everybody to delve into. This is not for everybody to delve into. Naam. والنصيحة, also in giving advice, Ibn Kathir, he mentions كقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم, like the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, لما استأذن عليه ذلك الرجل الفاجر, like whenever that one corrupt and evil man sought permission to enter upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said about that man, إذنوا له بئس أخو العشيرة. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whenever he seen him coming to the house to seek permission to speak with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet told those in his home, let him come in, allow him to come in, and such an evil person he is. Let him to come in, but he is an ibitsa akhul ashira. He is the worst of his tribe. He's the worst of his tribesmen, and how evil is this person? وَكَقَوْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ لِفَاطِمَةَ بِنْتِ قَيْسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا, like the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to Fatima bin Qais رضي الله عنها, وَقَدْ خَطَبَهَا مُعَاوِيَةُ وَأَبُو جَهَمْ وَأَبُو الْجَهَمْ, and also like Fatima bint Qais, whenever Muawiyah and Abu al-Jahm, both of them sought her hand in marriage. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Amma Muawiyah fa su'ulukun la mala lahu." She didn't mention that part. He didn't mention that part here, but that's the end of the hadith. As for Muawiyah, then he's poor. He has no wealth. Wa amma Abu al-Jahm fa la yadhu 'asahu an atiqihi. And as for Abu al-Jahm, then he doesn't put his stick down from his shoulder. So these are examples that have come in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To clarify times when it's permissible for ghibah. The first example is here, the example whenever there was a man coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his home, and he seen him coming to speak with him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he knows that this is a wicked man, and that this is an evil man. And but sometimes the evil people, they may appear to be good to certain peoples, or they may show that they have beautiful qualities, and they may pretend to be nice and want good for the people. But in reality, those who know them personally, they know that they're evil and they have a foul intention, and they're only displaying this face of honesty in order to trick and deceive the people and to take advantage of them. So this type of person here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was aware of him. So whenever he said, "Let him in," verily he's the evil man. He's an evil man, or from the worst of his tribesmen. This is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wants to warn those people who are around him to not be deceived by him, to warn them from his evil. But whenever he entered upon them, whenever he entered into the home, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled in his face and spoke to him kindly and took care of his need. And after that, Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked about this. And she said, "I seen you when he's coming, you said this, but whenever he came and you dealt with him in this manner, you were nice to him, you smiled on his face, you took care of his needs." And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Have you ever known me to be a hypocrite, O Aisha radiallahu anha? But rather, شر الناس عند الله يوم القيامة من تركهم الناس اتقاء فحشهم. But rather the worst," the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "the most evil people with Allah on the day of resurrection are the ones who the people left them out of fear of their indecency and foulness." Some people, they're known for evil, and some people are known for indecency, and some people are known for harming others with their tongues and with their manners, and they're known for harming others in any case that they can. So the people who have to deal with them, sometimes maybe they'll just be kind to them and smile in their face in order to be safe from their harm. If they see them or they bump into them, they say to them, "Assalamu alaikum, how are you doing? Alhamdulillah, everything's good." And then, "Excuse me, I have to go." So this person is just happens to see them, and so in order to stay safe from their harm and out of their way, then maybe you'll smile to them, shake their hand, and then after that you leave and excuse yourself in the same manner like this. But as for somebody who was not knowing of that evil of that person, to inform them of that is permissible. And this is what is coming, and this is what these evidences lead to. Also, in this case here, whenever there was a woman, Fatima bint Qais radiallahu anha, she asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam about marriage, and she mentioned that there were two men who asked for her, who proposed to her, and one was Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, and at this time he was not wealthy, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "He's poor, he does not have any wealth." And the other one was Abu Jahm radiallahu anhu, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "He doesn't put his stick off of his shoulder, he doesn't take his stick down off of his shoulder." Some of the ulama, they mentioned that he's always traveling, he's never at home. Other ulama, they mentioned that he kana darraban li nisa'ihi, that he used to beat his women. And many of the ulama, they mentioned that was the better opinion of that meaning, that he used to beat his women. So these are both things that both of those companions would not like to be mentioned about them behind their back, no doubt about that. Somebody to say, "Oh, he's poor, he has no money," or somebody to say, "No, he beats his women." Like this is not something that somebody would like to hear. But this woman, she came seeking advice about marriage, which is a very important and also dangerous issue if one is not aware of who they're getting involved with. So at this time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has to respond in the best manner to direct her in the best way, and so that it would be most beneficial for her, to save her from any harm and the likes like this. So he mentioned this about them, not to speak ill of them, but to clarify to this woman who is proposing to her so she can make the proper decision. And likewise, after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inkihi Usama ibn Zayd." She told him not to marry him or him, but rather to marry Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu. There's a benefit in this here, likewise, in the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as for Muawiyah, "Amma Muawiyah fa su'ulukum la mala lah." As for Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, then he's poor, he has no wealth. Subhanallah, this was at this time whenever this question was presented, but later on, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muawiyah, he became the Khalifa. He became the Khalifa radiallahu anhu. So we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he does not know the unseen except whatever Allah allows him to know. So those people who claim that he knows the unseen, they have been misled and misguided. Now they have been misled and misguided, and also the wealth and the decree is in Allah's hands. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He raises whom He wills and He lowers whom He wills. He provides for whom He wills and He prohibits from whom He wills. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the reality of this life. But the point from these narrations and the mentioning of the statement of Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, and it continues, and he says, وَكَذَا مَجْرَى ذَلِكَ ثُمَّ بَقِيَتُهَا عَلَى التَّحْرِيمِ الشَّدِيدِ. So he mentioned that there are other instances similar like this that come in a similar manner, but the rest of the time, then this is a severe prohibition, a stern prohibition. So the origin is that this is a prohibition, backbiting and mentioning people behind their back in a manner they do not like. Rather, this is, as Ibn Kathir, he says, a tahrim al-shadid, a very stern prohibition. And we can take that understanding, that stern prohibition, from the punishment the Prophet ﷺ seen from those people, that they are scratching their own faces and chests from the front with brass nails because of this action they did behind the backs of the people. Behind the backs of the people. So a person wouldn't take it lightly. So there are instances whenever it would be permissible, but a person must understand those instances, and it's not in every case, and it's not just an absolute sense like this, but rather there are dawabit, and there are conditions, and there are restrictions and manners with regards to even to those cases. So there are certain cases, and then there are also understandings of when it's permissible in those cases. But a person must remember the origin is not permissible. And the origin and the issue and the fundamental principle is that it's severely prohibited, sternly impermissible, and from the muharramat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that have a threat for those who perform this action. So they will be cautious from falling into it or being in the company of those who delve into the likes of these affairs. She says here, قُلْتُ وَالسُّوَرُ الْمُسْتَثْنَاتِ مِنَ الْغِيبَةِ مَجْمُوعَةٌ فِي قَوْلِ الشَّاعِرِ. She says here that the aspects that have been excused, or there is an exception for, from backbiting, and even the times when it would be permissible, they are gathered in the statement of the poet. And she says, the statement of this poetry, أَذَّمُّ لَيْسَ بِغِيبَةٍ فِي سِتَّةٍ مُتَظَلِّمٍ وَمُعَرِّفٍ وَمُحَذِّرٍ وَلِمُظْهِرٍ فِسْقًا وَمُسْتَفْتٍ وَمَنْ طَلَبَ الْعِيَانَةَ فِي إِزَالَةِ مُنْكَرِ. So in these lines of poetry here, these two lines of poetry, one of the ulama have, or the poets have, gathered these cases whenever it is permissible, and they have mentioned that it is in six cases or six situations. So الذَّمُّ لَيْسَ بِغِيبَةٍ فِي سِتَّةٍ, to dispraise somebody and to speak ill of them, meaning behind their back, it is not considered backbiting in six cases. In six cases, مُتَظَلِّمٍ وَمُعَرِّفٍ وَمُحَذِّرٍ. There's three. مُتَظَلِّمٍ, number one. مُتَظَلِّمٍ is the one who has been oppressed and he wants to get his right back. وَمُعَرِّفٍ is the one who knows somebody who is known for a trait that's not good, but he mentions him by that trait so that person will be known not to find fault with him. Like for somebody who is blind, and you say, for example, he's blind, so you mention him by that. The one who can't see well, they call him al-A'mash. For example, there was a narrator, his name is Sulaiman ibn Mihram. He died in the year Mihran. He died in the year 148, rahimahullah, from the Tabi'een. But they called him al-A'mash. Al-A'mash means the one who can't see well. So this is finding fault with his vision. But he was known for that. He was known for that. So this is how he was known. So to call him al-A'mash is okay because he was known by that name. Or for example, somebody who is very short. Say, I saw brother Muhammad, for example. And say, what Muhammad? You know, the short brother. The short Muhammad. Oh yes, I know him. Now this is, I need to identify him. مُعَرِّفٍ لِتَعْرِيفِ الشَّخْصِ لِتَعْرِيَنِ, to identify him. تَعْيِينِهِ. At this time it's permissible to identify somebody, to mention a trait. For example, he has a bad leg, or the one who has crossed eyes. For example, the brother Abdullah, you know, which Abdullah? The one with crossed eyes. Naam, I know him. Like this. In this case, the ulama they mentioned is permissible because it's for identification purpose, not for finding fault with him. وَمُحَذِّرٍ, ومحذرين is the one who is warning from somebody else, to warn from somebody who is upon innovation, to warn from somebody who is upon sin and transgression, to warn from somebody who has very foul manners, and there's somebody who is associating with them or who is dealing with them, then to warn from that person because of that reason, then this is permissible. ولمظهرين, so there's the first three, متظلمين ومعرفين ومحذرين. وَلِمُظْهِرٍ فِسْقًا, and for the one who does actions of indecency, fisq, actions of disobedience, and he does actions of disobedience publicly, المجاهر به, المجاهر بها, the one who announces publicly his sin, likewise there's no ghibah for that person. وَمُسْتَفْتِن, and the one who is seeking al-istifta, the one who is seeking a religious ruling, the one who is seeking a religious ruling. Like, for example, in the narration that the author mentioned, that Ibn Kathir mentioned, rahimahullah, that whenever Fatima, she came, bint Qais, radiyallahu anha, asking for advice. This is seeking advice. Also, there's the narration of Hind, radiyallahu anha, she was married to Abu Sufyan, radiyallahu anhu, and she mentioned that Abu Sufyan kana shahihan, la yu'tini ma yakfini, li wa li waladi. So that she came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she said that Abu Sufyan, he is stingy, radiyallahu anhu, and he does not give me enough wealth to provide for me and my child. What should I do? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, you can take from his wealth, even if he does not know that which is will suffice you, and in the proper manner, without going to extremes or going overboard. So here she came seeking advice and seeking a fatwa and a ruling on what to do. So she mentioned the situation. But even though that she mentioned Hind radiyallahu anha, she mentioned her husband by name and the situation directly related to her family, the ulama, they mentioned that it's better not to do that in that manner, but rather to mention in a general sense. And if somebody, if a woman had a problem with her husband, she would go to the sheikh or to the scholar or to the one she trusted in his deen and his knowledge to ask him. And she wouldn't say, my husband did this or did that, but rather she should say, what is the ruling if there is a spouse and her, or a woman and her husband does this to him, to her, or so on and so forth, making it a general issue. Because the point is not to identify people, but to know the proper ruling and the manner to take care of the situation according to the Islamic legislation. So this is how a person should do in general whenever they ask a situation, especially if it's exposing one's faults or the faults of one's family or even one's companion and friends. You wouldn't mention them by name to the person unless that's needed. Unless that's needed, then one could do that, but it's preferred to mention in a general sense to get the ruling. To get the ruling, Annie, because that's what is hoped for, to know the proper ruling and manner to take care of the situation. So here we see Mustaftin. What number is that? Number four. So the first number, that's number five. Mutadhalliman, the one who has been oppressed. The one who has been oppressed. For example, he'll go to the judge and he will say, so-and-so stole my car, he's a thief. Or so-and-so took my wealth. Or so-and-so owes me money, he never paid me back. Or so-and-so hit me, or my child, or the likes like this. You need to, he's somebody who has been oppressed, and to mention that oppression that somebody did to him, he will go to that person who is able to rectify that. Mutadhalliman, the one who's been oppressed. Mu'arrifin is the one who is to mention somebody, mention somebody's fault in order to identify them. Muhadhirin is the one who warns from somebody, and to warn from their evil, whether it's innovation or whether it's sin and transgression or misguidance and the likes. وَلِمُظْحِرٍ فِسْقًا, that's four. The one who does actions of obedience apparently and openly, and he's not concerned to this extent, there's no ghiba for him. He's already revealed himself and taken down the cover and the protection of Allah Azza wa Jal by openly and publicly sinning. وَمُسْتَفْتِن, that's number five. The one who's seeking a religious verdict in a situation. Type number six, woman, طَلَبَ الْعِيَانَةَ فِي إِزَالَةِ مُنْكَرِ, and the one who seeks the help of somebody else to remove an evil. Somebody may see an evil and they may not be able to prohibit it or stop it alone, and they may need somebody else to aid them and help them. So at this time, it would be permissible to mention to them that person and the evil that they're doing in order to stop it, in order to stop it and prohibit it. In order to stop it and prohibit it. So somebody sees some evil and they will need help in order sometimes to stop it. So it's permissible to mention that person in a manner they did not like in order to get that help. To say, you know, so-and-so is involved in this foul action. Can you help me prohibit it? And sometimes we may know somebody who is in that case, but we know that they won't listen to us. So if we have maybe somebody else who is more respected in the community that can speak to them, or more knowledgeable, or the case, or somebody that they think that person would listen to before us, it's permissible, if we know of that evil, to go to them and to inform them of that situation and that person, and with this intention, in order to have them assist us and aid us in removing that evil. So at this time, it would be permissible. So a believer, particularly a student of knowledge, will try to memorize these lines of poetry. الذم ليس بغيبة في ستة متظلم ومعرف ومحذر ولمظهر فسقا ومستفت ومن طالب العيانة في إزالة منكري. The author, she says, مرجع هذين البيتين سبل السلام. The source of these two poetry, or these two lines of poetry, is a book called سبل السلام. سبل السلام is a book by Al-Amir al-San'ani, rahimahullah ta'ala, and it is the explanation of Bulugh Maram. It's one of the most famous and beneficial explanations relied upon by the scholars with regards to the narrations inside the book Bulugh al-Maram by Ibn Hajar. One of the greatest explanations of that, Subul al-Salam by al-San'ani. So she's saying that these lines of poetry can be found there. And then she gives advice to the sister reading this, and she says, وَانْظُرِي الْأَدِلَّةَ عَلَيْهَا فِي هَذَا الْمَصْدَرِ لِتَمَامِ الْفَائِدَةِ. And you should look into the evidences in that book, in that source, in order to have a better, to complete the benefit, you know, to have a better understanding. And As-San'ani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned this line of poetry, and he mentioned these six cases. And we will read them. As she mentioned here, she says, go back and look at those evidences. And those evidences have been mentioned in the book of Allah, I mean, in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and many of them have been found in Bulugh Maram. And they're the same evidences, basically, that have preceded the question and the istiftah of Hind about her husband who did not provide for her the proper means for herself and her child, radiallahu anha. And also the question and the advice from Fatima bint Qais radiallahu anha about marriage, and also the narration whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that man coming and he spoke about him in that manner, and then after that he was kind to him, and he, because he wanted to clarify his evil and warn those around him from his evil, and at the same time he wanted to protect himself from his evil. And also it's mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after knowing about his evil to deal with him in a good way, this is also hoping that he will accept Islam, or that he will his Islam will be good, or that he will be guided from the good manners and the likes like this. So there's many reasons. But here in Subul al-Salam, he mentioned, he said, Rahimahullah ta'ala al-San'ani, al-Amir al-San'ani, Rahimahullah ta'ala. He died at around the same time as Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab taqriban. He says, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ قَدْ اسْتَثْنَى الْعُلَمَى مِنَ الْغِيبَةِ أُمُورٌ سِتَّةٌ. You must know, وَعْلَمْ, know, that the scholars, they have made an exception from backbiting in six affairs. The first one, أَتَظَلُّمْ فَيُجُوزُ أَنْ يَقُولَ الْمَظْلُومُ فُلَانٌ ظَلَمَنِي وَأَخَذَ مَالِي أَوْ أَنَّهُ ظَالِمٌ. He says here, so the first one is التظلم, يعني to mention an oppression or a wrongdoing. Somebody has done wrong, somebody has been oppressed, and they need to get their right back. Then it's permissible for that oppressed person to say, so-and-so oppressed me, so-and-so took my right, so-and-so took my wealth, or so-and-so is an oppressor, so-and-so is a wrongdoer. Like this, it's permissible to say that behind his back. But he says here, a very important point. ولكن إذا كان ذكره لذلك شكاية لمن له قدرة على إزالتها أو تخفيفها. He said that's the case, and you can say that about that person, he's an oppressor or he's a wrongdoer. That's if you say it to an individual and you complain to him and you mention this case about that person to somebody who has the ability to stop him, to remove that oppression, or to lighten it, or to get the right back. And so this is a very important point. And so then, although it's permissible for the one who's oppressed to mention the oppressor and the foul thing that he's did, that's not an absolute sense, and that's not in every gathering, and that's not in every situation, and that's not at all times. Somebody knows somebody who oppresses others, and then every time they sit in a gathering, so-and-so is an oppressor, so-and-so is a liar, so-and-so did this, and so-and-so did that, and the person that they're talking to can't do anything about it. They're just backbiting. This is backbiting. But as for going to somebody with the intention of hoping that they will be able to help by the permission of Allah to get the right removed and to stop or returned and to have the oppressor held accountable and the likes like this and to stop him from his oppression with this intention, then it's permissible to go to him and to mention that someone is oppressing and somebody is wrongdoing in this manner. But as for going to somebody who does not have the ability to do that and to speak about them behind their back, then this is still not good. So this is a very important point that he made. وَلَكِنْ إِذَا كَانَ ذِكْرُهُ لِذَلِكَ شِكَايَةً لِمَنْ لَهُ قُدْرَةٌ عَلَى إِزَالَتِهِ أَوْ تَخْفِيفِهَا. That you need to mention that so-and-so is an oppressor or a wrongdoer, or they stole money, or they did this or that. To mention that to somebody is permissible in the case whenever one mentions it to somebody who has the ability to do something about it. Whenever you to mention it to somebody who has the ability to stop that person or to get the right back or to lighten the oppression and the likes like this. So not just going and mentioning to you to the average brother or sister or the likes like this, but to somebody who can benefit in the situation. At that time it's permissible. So he says here, وَدَلِيلُهُ قَوْلُ هِنْدٍ عند شكايتها عليه عليه صلى الله عليه وسلم من أبي سفيان أنه رجل شحي. And he says the proof for this is the statement of Hind, which has preceded رضي الله عنها, whenever she complained and mentioned the her case to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم about Abi Sufyan رضي الله عنه, that he was stingy and greedy and did not give her or her child the means that are sufficient. الثاني, the second case, he says, we're reading now from the advice, the author she mentioned, حفظها الله, to انظري الأدلة عليها في هذا المصدر لتمام الفائدة. She said, go to Subul al-Salam to get a better benefit or complete benefit. So this is where we're reading from, Subul al-Salam. He says the second one, رحمه الله الصنعاني, الاستعانة على تغيير المنكر بذكره لمن يظن قدرته على إزالته. Allahu Akbar. Reading, may Allah reward her, because this is really getting a complete benefit here. InshaAllah, we ask Allah to make it beneficial. But the case is here, he mentioned the statements of the ulama. They mention words and sentences, and when they speak precisely. And it's very beneficial. So here we see and we read in the poem that she mentioned, which is also mentioned here in this book, Subul al-Salam, the second case, al-isti'ana, ala taghyir al-munkar, to seek help from somebody, sanani, to seek help from somebody to remove an evil, to seek help from somebody to remove an evil. So then we see it's permissible to seek help from another person in removing evil and changing harm and the likes. But As-San'ani, he mentioned a great point. He said that that means it's permissible to mention that person and that evil that they're doing in order to seek help from somebody and to mention their evil to somebody else, seeking their aid and assistance to prohibit it. That's if it is to somebody who he thinks they have the ability to stop it, if they have the ability to remove it. بِذِكْرِهِ لِمَنْ يَظُنُّ قُدْرَتُهُ عَلَى إِزَالَتِهِ فَيُقُولُ فُلَانٌ فَعَلَ كَذَا فِي حَقِّ مَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ مُجَاهِرًا بِالْمَعْسِيَةِ. He mentioned two exceptions, or two, not exceptions, but ضابطين, ذكر ضابطين. The first one is that it has to be to somebody that he thinks is able to help stop him. And so it's permissible to mention somebody's faults, that they are involved, they're involved in sin, or they're involved in transgression, or they're involved in munkar, whether it's in innovation or the likes like this, to somebody else to seek their help to stop that person. But that's only if that person they're asking help from, he thinks they really can stop him. He wouldn't just go talk to anybody about it again. It wouldn't be in any case and just anybody, but rather the one that a person he thinks and he hopes that he will actually have the ability and be able to help him stop that person. That's the one that's permissible to mention his evil to. As for everybody else and the people and the companions and their friends, and لا, only the one that he thinks will be able to help him. So he will say to him, so-and-so did this, or so-and-so did that, and can you help me? Maybe you can advise him, maybe you can talk to him, or maybe you can talk to somebody who knows him, like this. And to ask somebody who you think is able to help, not just anybody, because not everybody is able to help or is willing to help and the likes. So then again, it's restricted here, even this exception. And he said, رَحِمُهَ فِي حَقِّ مَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ مُجَاهِرًا بِالْمَعْسِيَةِ. This is with regards to the one who is not publicly sinning. As for the one who's publicly sinning, then he has a different ruling. We have seen that. And it will come. The one who's publicly sinning, then he has no honor. And he left his honor. Naam. So the thalith, or the third case, As-San'ani, he mentioned, رَحِمُهَ ta'ala, and he says, الْإِسْتِفْتَاءِ. Al-istifta is yani, to seek a fatwa, to seek a ruling. Sanani, he died in the 1182. So he was from the peers of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. When did he die? 1206. So Sanani, he lived in around the same time, except for Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, he lived in Najd. He lived in Najd, in the area close to Buraid and Qasim, close to Riyadh, a little in that area. But San'ani, he lived, of course, in San'a, in Yemen. Rahimahum Allahu Ta'ala. Rahimahum Allahu Ta'ala. Al-Tharif, the third case, when it's permissible to backbite somebody, and he, with these conditions, al-istifta'. Yani, or whenever to mention it would be permissible to backbite somebody, meaning to mention their faults in their absence. And it would not be considered that backbiting that is considered haram, al-istifta, to seek a religious ruling in an affair. Bi an yaqula lil mufti, that he would say to the mufti, to the one who's going to give the fatwa and the ruling and the verdict, fulanun dharamani bikada fama tariqi ila al-khalasi anhu. He said, it's permissible to say to the mufti or to the sheikh or the imam, the one who is going to give the religious verdict, so-and-so oppressed me in this issue. How can I get my right back? How can I get myself out of this situation? Naam, so it's permissible to say that. He says, وَالدَّلِيلُهُ أَنُّهُ لَا يَعْرِفُ الْخَلَاصَ عَمَّا يَحْرُمُ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا بِذِكْرِ مَا وَقَعَ مِنْهُ. And the proof for this is that this person, he does not know how to get out of the situation from that which is made impermissible except by mentioning this case. And he has no way out. He doesn't know what to do. He does not know the religious verdict. He does not know the ruling, how to deal with the situation. And likewise, the ulama also used, as I mentioned for this, the question of Hind also, that she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she doesn't know what to do. What should she do? How do you deal with the situation whenever the husband oppresses you and he does not give you a right? What is the Islamic ruling? What is incumbent and obligatory for me to do as a wife? Like this, one would ask, and this is what Hind asked, radiallahu anha. So this is considered al-istifta. Again, the ulama, they mentioned though that if it's possible, it's preferred not to mention the details or the person's name, or to say that for the woman or the man to say, my wife did this, or my husband did this, or my brother did this, and to expose their family, unless it's something that is required and necessary for the proper ruling to be achieved. If it's possible to cover that, and by asking in a general manner, this is what is required. What happens if so-and-so's son fell into this? Or what happens if so-and-so's husband, if a woman's husband does this or didn't do that? Or what about the ruling for the wife if she does this, like this? Or for the woman who's married, like in a general manner, just to have the ruling, just to get the ruling, because this is what one is searching for, the means and the Islamic ruling on how to deal with the situation. الرابع, the fourth one, he says, التحذير للمسلمين من الاغترار به. And the fourth case, when it's permissible to mention people's faults and their absence, is whenever one will be warning the Muslims so they will not be deceived by this individual. To warn the Muslims from a certain person or individual so that they will not be deceived by him. كجرح الروات والشهود, by criticizing and finding fault and speaking about the ills or mentioning the faults of the narrators of hadith and also the witnesses who testify. For example, sometimes they will bring witnesses to testify in court, but sometimes these witnesses will be wicked and evil. So to if somebody brings a witness to testify in a case, and they know that that person, somebody knows that person is evil and foul, you can say, this person here, he, for example, he's a drunk, or he's this, how can he testify? He's known for alcohol, he's known for drinking, or he's known for this, he's known for that. To mention this case now is permissible, so that people will not be deceived by him. For the people who to not be deceived by him. Also, As-San'ani, he mentioned here in the same case, Rahimahullah, وَمَنْ يَتَصَدَّرُ لِلْتَدْرِيسِ وَالْإِفْتَاءِ مَعَ آدِمِ الْأَهْلِيَّ. Also like the one who puts himself forward to teach the Muslims and to give fatwa and religious verdicts, and he's not qualified. Those people who try to put themselves forward in front of the people and to teach in public and the likes like this and on podiums and the likes like that, and they're not qualified, or they're going to speak about the legislation and the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they're not qualified, then it's permissible to warn from them, and it's permissible to clarify that they are not qualified. Naam, this is permissible, and this is not considered backbiting, that is haram. وَدَلِيلُهُ قَوْلُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ. And the proof for this is the statement of the Messenger صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ بِئْسَ أَخُ الْعَشِيرَةِ الْحَدِيثِ. The statement of the Prophet, how evil is this person, the worst of his tribe, like this. But then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after that, dealt with him in a manner that was in kindness, in order to be safe from his harm and also to help him to accept Islam. But he warned from his evil those people who are around him. وَقَوْلُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَمَّا مُعَاوِيَةُ فَسُعْلُوكٌ. And as for Muawiyah, then he is poor, like this. All of this is from the evidences of this issue, to warn the Muslims so they will not be deceived by these situations, especially if they come seeking advice. Especially if they come seeking advice. There's a narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Man ashara ila akhihi bi amrin ya'rifu anna rushda fi khilafihi faqad khana." Whoever indicates or led his brother to an affair, and he gave him advice to do something, and he knows that upright guidance is contrary to that, then verily he betrayed him. So if a Muslim seeks advice from a believer and they have knowledge of that situation, they must inform them the best that they can, sincerely for the sake of Allah. He says, we continue reading the statement of San'ani rahimahullah, وَذَلِكَ أَنَّهَا جَاءَتْ فَاطِمَةُ بِنْتُ قَيْسٍ تَسْتَأْذِنُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ وَتَسْتَشِيرُهُ وَتَذْكُرُ أَنُّهُ خَطَبَهَا مُعَاوِيَةُ بْنُ أَبِي سُفْيَانَ وَخَطَبَهَا أَبُو جَهْمٍ فَقَالَ أَمَّا مُعَاوِيَةُ فَسُؤْلُكُمْ لَا مَالَ لَهُ وَأَمَّا أَبُو جَهْمٍ فَلَا يَضَعُ عَصَاهُ عَنْ عَاتِقِهِ ثُمَّ قَالَ انْكِحِي فُلَانًا الْحَدِيثِ. So he mentioned the other narration, the proof for this issue here, warning from the Muslims, and the narrations have preceded. The narration of the woman asking about marriage to Muawiyah and Abu Jahm, and also the narration and the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that Muawiyah is poor and Abu Jahm, he beats his women, and that she should marry so-and-so, until the end of the hadith. So he mentioned here also al-khamis, the fifth case when it's permissible. ذكر من جاهر بالفسق أو بالبدعة كالمكاسين وذوي الولايات الباطلة فيجوز ذكرهم بما يجاهرون به دون غيره. The fifth case is to mention somebody who جاهر بالفسق. فسق, first الفسق is الخروج عن طاعة الله. So then this one, he جاهر به, meaning he did it publicly. He publicized. He does. Actions of disobedience publicly, he said, or innovation likewise. And then he mentioned kalmakasin, those tax collectors, and he's somebody who's taking money unrightfully, and he's earning money unlawfully. These people who publicly sin, they go to work publicly. For example, selling insurance is haram. To go to work every day and sell insurance, that's publicizing sin. Or to go to, for example, somewhere and a car lot, and they charge interest. And that's what they do every day. They stand in their car lot and they charge interest. Or to go into a store every single day and sell alcohol and pig, pork chops, and like this. And then this person, he's at his store publicly. Anybody can see him. There's no, he has removed the sitr of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he has uncovered his own self publicly sinning. He said also that that's the, like the people who are tax sellers, any like this, when you're dealing in this haram money, or innovation, or acts of sin, or the people who have al-wilayat al-batila, they have they're in charge of affairs of falsehood. And if, for example, they have businesses and the likes like this that are involved in clear transgression and sin, that's not permissible. For yujuzu dhikruhum, it's permissible to mention them. Bima yujahiruna bihi duna ghayrihi. It's permissible, again, a very beneficial point. It's permissible to mention them, that which they display publicly, and not to mention other than that. And not to mention other than that. Maybe a person, he knows that he does something else in his home, or he knows other faults about that person that he does not display publicly. You can't mention those faults. You can't mention those faults. If to mention those faults, that would be backbiting. But to mention the faults that he displays publicly, for example, if he's somebody who he doesn't pray in the masjid, he doesn't, or he doesn't pray a lot in the masjid, or somebody, for example, he doesn't read the Quran good, maybe, for example, we'll make an example. He doesn't read the Quran good. He stutters when he reads the Quran. And he sells cars with riba. So the fact that he stutters in the Quran, you can't mention that. You can't, so-and-so, he can't even read the Quran. He's been Muslim so many years, he stutters in the Fatiha. You can't say that. That's backbiting. This is haram. Brother, this is major sin. This is major sin. As for saying that he sells interest, he takes interest and he sells cars with interest, then this is permissible because that's what he does publicly. That's what he does publicly. But even then, a person, he was not going to just go talking about these things except if there's a need. Except if there's a need, somebody wants to buy a car. Oh, I heard brother so-and-so has a car lot. You say, yeah, barakallahu fiqh, but they take interest. Don't go to him. Don't go to him. That would also fall under the part of warning. So we didn't just talk about people all the time without reason and need. It's not the way of a believer. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Laysa al-mu'min bit-ta'an wala bil-la'an wala al-fahish al-badhi." That the Muslim, he's not always finding fault with people, and he doesn't curse people, and he doesn't speak foully and lowly. طيب السادس التعريف بالشخص بما فيه من العيب كالأعور والأعرج والأعمش ولا يراد به نقصه وغيبته وجمعها ابن أبي شريف in the poetry here. So he says the sixth time it's permissible is to identify a person by mentioning his fault or his deficiency, like the one who has crossed eyes, or he has a bad eye, an eye that goes one way or the other like this. To mention him like this is permissible. Or the one who has al-a'raj, his leg, he has a crippled leg, or somebody who is blind or partially blind, and the likes like this. To mention them for the purpose of identifying them, he says, وَلَا يُرَادُ بِهِ نَقْسُهُ وَغِيبَتُهُ. But he does not intend to find fault with him, or to mention him with deficiency, or to backbite him, but only to identify that person. Only to identify that person. Some people are known by that way. The only way to identify them is to mention them in this particular manner. So with that intention of identification only, it's permissible. It's permissible. So he mentioned here again, closing this chapter, or this hadith that he is clarifying, or the situation, he says, that they have been gathered in the lines of poetry by Ibn Abi Sharif, the author here of the poetry. He mentioned Ibn Abi Sharif. الذم ليس بغيبة في ستة متظلم ومعرف ومحذر ولمظهر فسقا ومستفت ومن طالب العيانة في إزالة منكري. We see that again, that's not to speak ill of somebody and to find fault with them and blame them is not considered the impermissible backbiting in sick situations. And that was whenever somebody is oppressed and they try to get their right back, or when somebody is going to identify somebody else, or when somebody is warning from the harms and the evil of somebody so that an individual will not be deceived by them and harmed by them, or also for the one who is exposing his sins publicly, and also for the one who is seeking a religious verdict. And then the sixth one is the one who is seeking aid and help from somebody in order to remove a harm and an evil. But as has preceded, there are instances with this, and the origin is that it's not permissible, and a believer should fear Allah Azza wa Jal and fear what his tongue says or her tongue says, and strive to please Allah Azza wa Jal with their tongue and say that which is pleasing to Allah, or be silent. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.